Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to the third episode of Pints of Football. We are your hosts, Ayushya and Himanshu. After last week's marathon episode on what's going on at Chelsea, and frankly, we had to edit quite a bit of it out, we come to you with a truly pint-sized one. Himanshu, if anybody needed any convincing that the Premier League is the best league in the world, we simply have to look at the different battles going up and down the table. We have a hotly contested title race going on. We have 9 teams battling to avoid relegation, right from Crystal Palace in the 12th position to Southampton down at 20th. Each one of these teams has a legit chance of being relegated from the Premier League. And then we have the much coveted race for the Champions League spots, the 3rd and 4th positions, for which 6 teams are vying, right from United up in 3rd place down to Brentford at 8th place. Each one of these teams has a legit chance of being in the top competition in Europe next season. Where do we begin to focus on? Which battle should we focus on in this episode?
I think the race to the top 4 would be a good one to start with. But United up to Brighton. I will not include Brentford in this discussion for the sake of this podcast.
You might have to buy Ivan Toney next season to solve your number 9 problem. Respect, yes. My friend. Respect, as Jose Mourinho would say.
He's going to be in jail. So let's see.
Too harsh for gambling. Not jail. Probably not jail. But yeah, as Himanshu said, we'll try to focus on the race for the Champions League spots. And this was an interesting weekend which went by, right? Some of these contenders for the Champions League spots came back to form. They needed important wins after the recent run of events. Some of these teams showed signs of slowing down. And then we had Liverpool, who failed to capitalize on the 7-0 drubbing of Manchester United by going down to Bournemouth. And this is what we're going to do. For each of these teams who are in the race for the Champions League spots, we'll try to answer 3 questions. What was the key takeaway from the weekend's performance? What are the main challenges that each of these teams has to overcome if they want to finish in the top 4? And looking at their upcoming fixture lists, where do we think these teams will end up? So without wasting any time, let's start. Himanshu, Manchester United, 0-0 against Southampton. What was the key takeaway?
I think a lot of players being very tired from the long season we have had was very apparent. Even when we went down 10 men, I think we had a chance to make something of Southampton team, which was 20th in the table. Just could not do it. The biggest, maybe not the takeaway, the result of the match was the red card to Casemiro, right? He misses 4 matches, 1 FA Cup match and 3 EPL matches. So that will be really, really difficult for us to deal with up to the mid of April. So I think, yeah, that's the biggest consequence of the United match.
Casemiro being out for 4 games, this was his 2nd red card. Now, this is a player who, until this season, had not received a single red card in his career. What do you think is going on? Is age catching up? Or is it simply the intensity of the Premier League?
I think not much to do with the age, right? The 2 red cards, the first one was something he probably didn't deserve, because in real time, didn't look like he was choking the Crystal Palace player. The second one was a deserved red card. He got a little unlucky because his leg rolled off the ball and hit the Southampton player on the shin, right? So a little down to bad luck. I wouldn't call it something like age is catching up to him. I wouldn't even say that, you know, it's like he has to do a lot more work for United than he's doing for Real Madrid, than he used to do for Real Madrid. So just bad luck, to be honest.
But don't you think it's because at United, he also has to do a lot more going forward, while at Madrid he could sit behind Toni Kroos and Luka Modric?
Yeah, a little bit of that. Maybe, yeah, I do believe it could be a lot of that. Casemiro is doing a lot of forward advanced passes than he used to do at Real Madrid, because we don't have a Kroos and Modric at United, unfortunately. A bit of that, but again, right, if you look at the red cards, wasn't really in, like, he wasn't doing those transition plays. Maybe he was a little bit, how do you say, caught up in the attacking play, then he had to kind of go back and
couldn't trust his defenders and McTominay,
yeah,
and Fred.
He was trusting his defender Rafael Varane, the same guy he had at Madrid. So that point is invalidated.
Anyway, Casemiro red card undoubtedly. Looking at the upcoming fixtures for United, we look past Betis because that's settled. You have Fulham at home, Newcastle away, Brentford at home, and then Everton away. How much of an impact will this red card have on these upcoming results?
I think a lot, right? United have always been on that, you know, that fine line between defeat and victory. Even the victories we've had with a lot of goal difference, like the Betis one, wasn't really convincing performances. And I think Casemiro will be a big miss in the upcoming matches. I am really scared as a United fan.
And what if Casemiro's time away due to the red card coincides with Rashford's form going down? Do you think if these two players stop firing, Manchester United will make it to be able to challenge for the Champions League and make it there?
I think Rashford a little less so than Casemiro. Like Casemiro and Rashford going out would be a calamity. But Rashford's influence, I would think, is a little bit less, because I feel like somehow the goals would come through a Bruno, through a Sancho, through even a Weghorst, right? Or an Anthony. But the midfield transition play that Casemiro brings in just because of his presence means a lot.
I think the upcoming game against Newcastle away will be a big game, right?
Because yeah, they are up for revenge. They will be gunning for revenge. So that's a big fixture for us.
I think we both can agree that of all the teams in this list, Manchester United seem to be the most stable team as of now in the bid for top four. Or am I being overly optimistic?
Yeah, I think you're being optimistic. Stable, I would not say. I think we're actually on a downward trend because of... We are good on points, but just because we're missing Casemiro for four matches, I don't think we're stable.
Finally, Manchester United, top four or not?
Top four, yes. Maybe fourth, not third.
Okay. There it is from the... Man United fan himself, and top then, four may not be third.
Yeah, that's pretty much it for United. I won't get too pessimistic about it. Let's just jump into Tottenham and their weird season where a lot of Antonio Conte's antics, Richarlison, a lot of off-field events are just being highlighted and not much about the season. Again, they have nothing to play for. It feels apart from the top four. What do you think of their chances?
I think not being in every other competition might finally end up working for Tottenham. I think the victory over this weekend was extremely important for them, giving the tepid performances against AC Milan and being knocked out of the Champions League. And this is a team which can finish in the top four simply because of the individuals whom they have got. And even if you look at this weekend's performance, it wasn't as if Tottenham were played an amazing game or something. It's just that the big players stepped up. And this is what Antonio Conte seems to be relying on this season. He seems to be relying on his big players stepping up to the occasion in some of these games, and they just have two or three of those match winners. I'm going to count Højbjerg in that category. I'm going to count Kulusevski in that category. Song Heung-min, even though he's not had a great season, can still come back to life at any point of time. And Harry Kane is as reliable and the most solid wall ever. And I think because of this reliance on these players, the names to perform, their performances have been sluggish in some of these games. But again, I think given the less fixture load on this squad, I really believe these players will start performing, and I think Tottenham have a legit chance of making it to the top four.
It's a bit of a weird case, right? They just had three draws the entire season, equaling table toppers Arsenal. They've had so many defeats. It's just, as you said, the names, right? Players turn up, they win. If they don't, they lose. That's pretty much what's happening with Tottenham. If they can get a little bit of consistency for the rest of the season, I think they have a very good chance of top four.
As you rightly mentioned, Himanshu, those nine defeats that they have, considering how close the race for top four is, each one of those missed draws also can end up costing them and by the time the season ends. And again, coming back to the fact that he's relying on these personalities to score, I think the XG also tells a very similar story, because Tottenham's, the entire team's XG for this Premier League season is 38, while they have scored 47 goals. So this entire team is outperforming on XG, which clearly tells the story that this is a team of moments, and moments also coming from a few players. Even Harry Kane, for that matter, is outperforming his XG. His XG this season is 15, but he's ended up scoring 20 goals. So, I mean, this team is entirely a team of individuals, but I just feel they just have those enough individuals who've been involved in these kind of top four races before. And it sounds funny, but for a team which has never won a trophy, they do have a lot of experience in being in those close top four races and knowing what it takes to cross the line.
But then you look at the fixture list, right, Ayush? They're coming up against Newcastle, Brighton, United, Liverpool, and as you said, Brentford even, their top six competitor. So what do you think about that? That could be do or die, right? Each of them becomes a knockout game.
I think Antonio Conte would be relishing this opportunity simply because, given the one objective that they have and given the fact that he can simply paint each of these games as a knockout competition, he can build that siege mentality around his team. Perfect, you know, environment to motivate again a team which relies on personalities to deliver. And I think between Conte and between the players in that team, again, extremely tough fixture list, but I still feel they will go ahead and they will do it.
That brings us to the next team that we want to speak about, Newcastle United. Newcastle United has had a topsy-turvy season. They were in number three position for a long time until then United resurgence post Ronaldo getting kicked off, post the World Cup. Now they've kind of fallen down to fifth position. They still have the best defense in the league. What do you think is going right or wrong for Newcastle?
I think, again, Newcastle are another team who really needed the victory this weekend. If you look at they have had just one victory over the past five games. So this win was extremely important. And I think Newcastle have the same fixture problem which United are facing. And again, this is a team which is also not used to playing these many fixtures. And the cup final, which happened in January, might have been a distraction. They're still there in the FA Cup, which might be a distraction. So this congested fixture list for them is definitely something which is a problem. And secondly, the main problem for them is, yes, they are the best defense in the league, but when it comes to scoring goals, they would be sitting 10th in that table. And that's the problem. I think I mentioned in one of our episodes, if you don't concede goals, you won't get relegated. But if you don't score goals, you will not move up the Premier League table. And scoring seems to be the big problem for them. Even though they have scored 37 goals in the league this season, 17 of those goals have come in 4 games, which means in the remaining 21 games, they have scored only 20 goals. And that is a big, big, big problem for them. They've also failed to score in 3 out of the past 6 games. So this weekend, this win was extremely important for them.
I think also if you look at their strike force, right? You have Miguel Almirón who was scoring every other week.
Then you was.
Had Callum Wilson ran into injury problems. Alexander Isak also went into injury problems. So not a lot of consistency up front. Then you have Alan Saint-Maximin, who can you dribble past the best defenders in the world, but zero output.
Exactly. A leaner, more talented Adama Traore is Alan Saint-Maximin.
That's one way to say it. So what do you think of the strike force, right? What's kind of gone wrong with them, apart from injuries?
I mean, Himanshu, I mean, you mentioned, right, Almirón was scoring every alternate week, but he's the leading goal scorer. He has 11 goals, but in the past 10 games, he scored only 2 goals. Callum Wilson, injury prone, slowing down, has only 1 goal in the past 10 games. And Alexander Isak, he's young, but he was injured for a stretch of 16 games and he's just come back. So yes, they have to solve that goal problem, and how they solve that goals problem is something I really can't see. And that's one of the reasons I feel they will fail to make it to the top 4. A very solid defense will probably help them finishing 5th or 6th. But even if you look at the fixture list, right, they really, apart from the fact that they have the FA Cup to play, they still have some tough fixtures in United, Spurs, Arsenal and Chelsea. So, I mean, I don't know how do they get past these teams without scoring goals and make it to the top 4. I mean,
you need a lot of easy fixtures to get there, you know, goal scorers kind of scoring 1 or 2 and getting that confidence back. I just don't see that happening in the next few fixtures. So for that reason, for me, I don't think Newcastle will make it to the top 4.
Exactly, and with that relegation race getting heated up, those teams will be all the more difficult to score against because each one of them will sit back. And yes, this lack of goals problem will really start biting them. Moving on to the next team in the table, your favorite team, Himanshu,
please.
Liverpool.
I love watching the Bournemouth match, right? Because
I'm sure you did.
I really put my foot down on the match where Liverpool beat us 7-0. I said this was a freak game. This has nothing to do with how good Liverpool were. It had everything to do with how bad United became.
It's amazing how many freak shows Manchester United are involved in, and in a bad way.
It's just... Anyway, I'm not getting distracted.
Okay, I promise. Won't bring up the 7-0 again.
So again, for the Liverpool game, right, if you look at... It was just a typical tepid performance from Liverpool, barring the game against United. It was just... There was a lack of aggression, lack of that mentality monster attitude that Jurgen Klopp demands from his players. Even their defense, right, for that goal, building up to that goal, I think Van Dijk and the other defender had to tuck into midfield, which meant the only two people behind were Alexander-Arnold and Andy Robertson.
Which means Robertson was alone.
And there was no one tracking back the midfielder. There was no one tracking back the midfielder who made that run and scored the goal. So the goal was very easily conceded, but I was sure that Liverpool would make some kind of a comeback, right? Especially because I think they had beaten Bournemouth 9-0 last season. And yeah, there were no signs that would happen. There was no signs even of that Liverpool which beat United, which I said was a one-off thing. Liverpool then also missing out on Bajcetic, right? Again, he is out for probably the entire season. Luis Diaz is still coming in and probably take a couple of matches for him to set in. But I just feel it's again what Liverpool is missing is mentality. And I don't know if that will be brought in this season. So for that reason, I feel Liverpool might finish above Newcastle, but still not end up in the top four. So Liverpool for fifth position, in my opinion.
And this tepid performance was a bit surprising considering the run of form they were in coming into this game, right? Before the Bournemouth game, the last five games, they had won three, drawn one and lost one. So they were coming into this game with a lot of confidence, with a lot of momentum. And yeah, I mean, it was just surprising. And if you look at the fixture list which is coming up, it is brutal. They have City away, they have Chelsea away, they have Arsenal at home. And after that, they have Leeds and Forest, which again can be tricky fixtures because those teams are in the relegation zone. But City, Chelsea, Arsenal, their entire top four race, which Klopp seems to have revived in the past five games, can simply end after the next three games.
So we're in agreement, Liverpool to finish fifth and probably not have enough money or the pedigree to go for Jude Bellingham.
Definitely. I think this season, we have said it too many times that the old Klopp team is back. But I think at some point of time, we just have to accept that that old Liverpool team is not coming back this season at least. And yes, they will definitely finish outside the top four.
That brings us to our next team, a team which has beaten Liverpool multiple times this season, Brighton.
By the way, Himanshu is a closeted Brighton fan, in spite of the fact that they beat United 4-0 at the beginning of the season.
I'm just a fan of football. Any team which plays amazing football is something that I would follow.
Then why don't you take Potter and give Chelsea Erik ten Hag?
Moving on. So Brighton, like, yeah, Potter had an amazing start of the season again. He's had an amazing bunch of seasons, why Chelsea kind of took him off Brighton's hand. What Brighton did amazing is they lost Kukurea, who at least on paper is a very good player for Brighton. What he's doing at Chelsea is out of this conversation. They also lost Trossard, played very well in the beginning of the season, but then ran into some disciplinary issues and then moved on to Arsenal, pretty sure to win a medal there as well.
Definitely. And he's making a difference at Arsenal, by the way.
Very. I think, yeah, that's another episode. But Trossard's importance to Arsenal, just to kind of fit into that, the gap which was left by Gabriel Jesus, right?
Yes.
Just in terms of providing goals and assists. So he's come in. So they lost these two very key players. And also had, I think, a couple of matches where their Ecuadorian midfielder, Caicedo, he went missing because he had this post about him really wanting to move to Arsenal, come up. And they handled these player issues so well. And it's just like, it's amazing. It's amazing how a manager from Shakhtar, right, who's had zero experience in the Premier League, come in and taken from Potter without a preseason and doing so well. And that's why I just love the story of Brighton, right?
Basically, he showed Potter that even without a preseason, you can get a team going.
Exactly right. That's his excuse at Chelsea. So yeah, what does he have to say about this?
Brighton are on 42 points. They have two games in hand. So there is a legit chance that they can make up, right? They can make up that gap on Tottenham, who are 6 points ahead of them. If Brighton win those two games in hand, they'll be on 48, equal to Tottenham.
I think games in hand it just paints a little bit of a rosy picture, but any team would always want to have those games ahead of their opponents. Now, two games in hand, they're already under pressure because there's Tottenham, Newcastle, Liverpool ahead of them.
So because they are trailing. If they were leading, then those games in hand are a luxury, yes.
Exactly. So I feel that's probably a bad thing for Brighton. I just feel because of Brighton's lack of that one striker they needed, right? They have Ferguson right now, who's an up-and-coming striker. But because of that one striker that they're missing, I feel like they will have a lot of wins, but they will not make it to the top four.
And the fixture list is not kind to them. They have Brentford at home, Bournemouth away, games they should pick up points from. But then they have Tottenham away, Chelsea away and City at home.
I think Chelsea away is probably their best fixture.
Definitely.
But yeah, I mean, besides that, I think it is a pretty bad fixture list. And I feel like Brighton will give very entertaining performances. They'll probably fail to win at City, at Chelsea even. That was just a joke. Tottenham. And I think they'll definitely get results at home. So I feel like they will make it to the Europa League maybe, but not the Champions League.
How many teams are making it to the Europa League according to you?
I think it'll be... Oh yeah, there is just one spot, right?
Exactly.
Then the Conference League for Brighton and... I think Liverpool and Newcastle competing for that fifth position.
And whichever teams make sure the Champions League signs Ivan Toney, right, from Brentford?
Yeah. I think the only thing Ivan Toney will sign next season is a hefty fine for for all the gambling dues that he has to fill.
So there you have it, our expert opinions on the race for the top four. Himanshu, this is one thing is our prediction, right? Which I think we can agree on. United at third, safely. We both are agreeing with Tottenham finishing fourth, Liverpool fifth, Newcastle sixth, and Brighton seventh. Or are you putting Brighton above Newcastle?
I think I'm putting Brighton above Newcastle.
Oh wow, I think that's where we disagree. I think Newcastle will even finish above Liverpool. So my prediction is United 3rd, Tottenham 4th, Newcastle 5th, Liverpool actually 7th, and Brighton will finish 6th.
Wow, Brighton over Liverpool.
I just don't think that Klopp resurgence is coming this season. This is the logical mind speaking. If I were to ask you to write the perfect romantic story of football, what would that top 4 look like?
Arsenal, Manchester City. I think Arsenal will win the season. Man City has number 2. Third place, I actually think it'll be Tottenham, right? I actually think United might fall down to 4th place. I hope this is at the cost of winning the Europa League and the FA Cup. So that's okay. Where I see my fantasy. 5th place would be to Brighton. I would love Brighton to finish 5th place and get that European competition, right? Just to get better players next season. Because it's a fantasy, Liverpool going down to 7th and Newcastle getting that last Conference League spot.
I think if I have to write the most romantic stories in football, Brighton and Brentford would have to finish 3rd and 4th. I think that would be the ultimate story in football. United can win the Europa... if they win the Europa League, then one of these teams will miss out. But yeah, I mean, Brighton and Brentford, any one of these teams making it to the top 4 would be an incredible story. But yeah, even one of them making it to Europa League will be just an incredible, incredible story. Yeah. And even Newcastle... Even though they are backed by extremely rich owners, I think Eddie Howe is a great... He's such a nice guy. He's such a good manager. He did great things at Bournemouth. And even seeing him play European football next season, I'll just be happy for him. Not Newcastle as a club.
Good guys finish last, I'm sure. And
that's why Porter will finish last?
that remains to be seen. Oh, we never discussed Chelsea in the top 4 race. But yeah, let's end this one.
We'll discuss them this weekend. We are talking about the best 8 teams in Europe when we come to the Champions League roundup. It's time for the Bobo moment of the week. Himanshu, it was Casemiro who got the red card. But it was somebody else spinning on the pitch, dancing around like a lunatic, who turned out to be the Bobo.
Right, Avishya. I mean, it was such an embarrassing moment, right? When apparently Anthony was telling Casemiro that he will win the game for Casemiro. And he ended up having 0 shots on goal, 0 assists, 0 goals as always, and got taken out at the 60th, 70th minute. 0 impact on the game. So yeah, embarrassingly enough, this was the Bobo moment of the week.
And do tune in next week to find out if a hat-trick of Bobos will be completed by Manchester United players.
I won't let that happen.
So there you have it. This time we tried to create a pint-sized episode actually in line with the name of our podcast. And we'll be back Saturday with the Champions League draws and a breakdown of the 4 biggest games coming up in Europe next month. Until then, I really hope you have loved listening to us. And podcasts grow only through word of mouth, only when you, our listeners, share it with further people along the way. So please, please continue listening to us and please spread the word about Pints Football. Until next time.